Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Janae Marie is a Michigan pharmacist originally from Ypsilanti, divorced with three sons. Matt was a high school football player, former Marine, who rose to fame as a competitive bodybuilder and powerlifter. What brings these two together? Janae used to be Matt. She's a trans woman facing the unusually difficult transition from titanic 250-pound man into her current status. This transformation is documented in a new feature film called Transformer. The film is directed by Michael Del Monte and follows Janae both at home, with family and friends, and inside the hypermasculine world of competitive weightlifting. It shows her life both as Matt and as Janae while she makes the difficult decisions and myriad changes faced by all trans people, as well as those unique to her world. Transformer is an eye-opening, surprising, touching, and always respectful movie that's opening in Toronto. And I'm very pleased to have Michael and Janae here in person to tell us more about Transformer. Hi, Janae.
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for coming in. So, Janae, since there's masculinity and then there's hyper-masculinity, and since a fairly young age, you've gravitated toward this hyper-masculine world of football, the Marine Corps, and, of course, competitive bodybuilding and weightlifting. What attracts you or attracted you to this world? What is good about it?
Well, I was always a very competitive person, hyper-competitive, you would say. By the time I was in third grade, I was training for our annual track and field day in elementary school. To me, that was like my own mini-Olympics. And I played sports year-round, loved them all, you know, baseball, football, wrestling. But by the time I was 9 years old, I started weight training. I was just always very passionate about strength training. And when I saw someone big and muscular, I was like, oh my God, that's who I want to be. But then, of course, at the same time, by the time I was 5 or 6 years old, I recognized these feelings of wanting to be female. So it confused me, but I enjoyed the competitive world. Even in the Marine Corps, I did very well in that hyper-masculine area. As far as that kind of stuff in sports and competitiveness, I was completely comfortable. But my identity was always female, and that gave me a lot more trouble when it came to relationships and, of course, you know, with my body and things like that, trying to balance my passion for strength training with my femininity was a challenge I've been facing my whole life.
Okay, and how did you first find out about Janae, Michael?
Through a colleague of mine who had been working with the sponsor, which ended up dropping Janae when she was outed. I don't want to say dropped her because she was outed. They did not renew her contract when she was outed. And I had been filming a bunch of bodybuilders before Janae because I was fascinated by the idea of physical transformation, how somebody wants to change their body and in effect change themselves. You know, they think if they lose fat or build muscle or whatever that other problems in life can go away. And so I was always fascinated by that as a subject, but was having a hard time finding the right character who would open up. Because so many of the bodybuilders, I have no problems. You know, I'm a machine, you know. And so Janae was incredibly courageous to say, yeah, no, there is some insecurities. And why, you know, I love the sport, but at the same time, it was a form of protection. It was a form of armor. And I found that, I knew it was, you know, I thought it was just going to be such a fascinating journey to see this attempt to transition.
And according to Muscle Mag, at your peak, 1,014-pound squat, 738 bench press, 810 deadlift. Is that correct?
Those are all correct.
And an official total of 2,551 pounds, meaning more than 11.5 times your body weight. That's like an ant carrying a whole, not a mouse, maybe a butterfly on its back. What did you get satisfaction from that? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, immensely. That total was the all-time world record, and at that time, it was not only the world record in current lifting, but the all-time world record, more than anyone had ever lifted in the 220-pound weight class, and that had been a goal I'd been chasing for close to 20 years. I really enjoyed the competitive arena, and it was very satisfying to me, and I loved competition. Winning was my drug. I mean, that was... I never felt, you know, more satisfaction than when I was winning, and just a naturally competitive person, loved all that.
So when you were outed online on YouTube by someone, can you describe what happened and the result of that?
Oh my gosh, yeah, turned my life upside down. So the good thing is I had already been out to my family and friends for about 10 years. So the people close to me all knew. I was actually pretty open about it in the powerlifting community, at least at the elite level with the other athletes I was sponsored with, and a lot of the people I competed against and a lot of my friends. So a lot of people knew, and I had been concerned for a while that I may be outed publicly, and the only thing I was waiting for was I have three sons, and they were teenagers when this happened, and I was waiting for all of them to graduate high school because I didn't want them to be affected by it. But we knew with me being as open as I was, it was a possibility, and we discussed how to handle it if it happened. But when it happened, it was on a much larger scale than I ever expected.
What do you mean by that much larger scale?
Instantly, my life. I mean, I was at work 11 o'clock on a Monday morning. My phone starts blowing up. And initially, it's all my friends. Like, you just got outed. It's all over the internet. It's getting reposted everywhere. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. But then minutes later, it's followed by contacts from TMZ, Inside Edition, all these requests for interviews. And I'm just like, what is going on? So then for like the next month, it was just nonstop interviews. And immediately I realized, like, okay, if my story is going to be told, I need to be the one telling it. I'm not going to let other people talk about me and get it all wrong. And I, like I said, it wasn't that I didn't want to be out. I was waiting for my sons to get out of high school, so I didn't have to deal with it. So it was, but yeah, my life was crazy for the next several months, just nonstop interviews and all this going on, my one sponsor dropping me, and yeah, it was quite a turmoil for a little while.
Some people talk about weightlifters as muscle heads. You're obviously not a stupid person. You have a pharmacy degree. That's
yes.
Like one of the most competitive disciplines for professions.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to concealing your gender, do you also conceal your mind when you're a bodybuilder?
No, that is totally true. That yeah, like in college, I would sometimes have professors give me a really hard time. You know, they saw me as this big jock, and when like in classes like organic chemistry and medicinal chemistry and stuff like that, or biochem, they would look at me like, you don't belong here. And so it was like I always had to prove myself. And you know, just, you know, everyone judges what they see, and in academia, big muscular people are often seen as not belonging. So yeah, I definitely had to prove myself to some of my professors, but then again, I liked breaking that stereotype. I liked being an intellectual as well as an athlete. And mm-hmm. And actually a lot of my athletic friends are very intelligent and very accomplished. So yeah, we totally love breaking that stereotype.
In the movie, you shoot Janae also at a coaching trans weightlifters and bodybuilders, but in the film there were all trans men.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, either of you, encountered other trans women who
yes.
are also bodybuilders? Oh, you have?
No one to my degree. I mean, you know, trans women that lift or exercise or even want to get stronger. But really, no one that's taken it to the extreme I have. I've been contacted, since I've been out, I've been contacted privately through social media by tons and tons of people thanking me for being out and saying, you know, I didn't realize there was anyone like me.
Huh.
But people who, you know, grew up as males that are interested in weightlifting and building muscle, but also feel the need to transition. And so, yeah, they had never seen anyone like me. And to this day, I mean, like I said, there are definitely other people interested in the same things. But not to the degree I was, at least, you know.
It is an interesting point because, you know, I think it says something about the power of testosterone because it's so effective, you know, and so a woman transitioning to man has a better time. You know, it's much easier with testosterone moving to a weight sport, right? So a man who's transitioning is going to be having to take estrogen. And so, you know, your strength's going down quite a bit.
It's sort of the ultimate conflict. I mean, again, as a pharmacist, you know all this, but most people who bodybuild, they take anabolic steroids and testosterone to emphasize their masculine characteristics. But to transition to a woman, you take the opposite direction. Were you ever doing both at the same time?
No, I stopped the testosterone when I started the estrogen, but it was very, very difficult. My strength plummeted initially. I mean, like ridiculous amounts. And we had titrated my estrogen dose up because I wasn't getting some of the things I wanted, like, you know, more breast development and things like that. And, I can't even tell you like how drastic and how severe the strength loss was and how much muscle I lost and how hard it was to keep the body fat off.
And how did that make you feel?
Actually horrible. Like,
I can imagine.
Yeah, because the thing was, you know, on one hand, I want to be more feminine in certain ways, but I had worked so long and so hard to gain all that muscle and get as strong as I was. And I liked being strong and I liked being muscular. So it was a real conflict. And then part of me assumed that as I got smaller and not necessarily weaker, but as I got smaller and I, you know, appeared more feminine in a traditional sense, that would make me feel better. And then, but exactly the opposite happened. I started becoming really frustrated with all the strength loss. I started feeling vulnerable, which I hadn't felt in a really, really long time. And I didn't like that. And then I was having a hard time even staying lean because the estrogen was putting on body fat. And that was really frustrating me. So then, you know, I ended up titrating my estrogen dose back down. And since then, you know, we've played around with my hormones trying to find a balance where I feel good. And, you know, as you can see, that I still retain quite a bit of muscle. I'm nowhere near as large as I used to be, believe it or not. At one point I was up to 280 pounds.
280?
Yeah.
And what's your weight now?
About 235.
235.
So almost 50 pounds more.
That was when you were doing more the powerlifting than the bodybuilding, right?
The bodybuilding, yeah.
Oh, the bodybuilding.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In powerlifting, I kept my weight around 250, 260, and then I would cut to the 220 class.
Right.
But for a good decade, I was 250 pounds or better. And then when I transitioned to bodybuilding, at the end, I tried to get even bigger because that's all about how you look. And I had pushed my weight up to close to 280.
I think it's important to address that people don't understand that, you know, muscle in Janae's world is that it's a commodity. Like it's your identity. It, you know, a banker's identity is their portfolio. You know, that's their whole worth. And for her, it was integers. You know, like these numbers she's saying mean so much. 285. And then they say, well, what's your body fat? 8%. All right, you're a better person. What do you bench? 1,000. You know, and these integers become your identity. So you imagine now you're asking to lower all of your integers. It's like no chance.
Yeah.
You know, this is the dilemma, right?
People talk about the sizing up.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is for listeners?
Yeah. Well,
and do you still
comparing each other? Yeah, yeah.
Do you still do that now? Or?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, but yeah, in the masculine world, especially the hyper masculine arena like that, there's definitely a pecking order that guys establish. And in a weightlifting sense, it's always going to be, you know, who's stronger. And then in a bodybuilding sense, it's who's bigger, who's leaner. So when, you know, when you're together with all these guys, not only was I an alpha male, I was like the alpha male. I always had to be on top. I would say you put me in a room with 20 alpha males, I'm going to be top alpha. That was just my mentality. I was always this hyper-competitive person that had to win at everything. And that was my drug. That was what made me feel good. That's what gave me a huge sense of satisfaction. And still does. I mean, it's, you know, I'm still wired that way.
Many people talk, when you're talking about transition or transgenders, they seem obsessed by genitalia. But the remark you made in the movie was, it's not the lower surgery that's the hardest part. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, well, for me, there's no doubt. Like, and that's what some people don't get with trans people either. They think that it's all about the bottom surgery. And believe it or not, there's a lot of trans women that appear very feminine or very beautiful, but don't even want the bottom surgery. Now, I do. For me, that was never a question. I knew I would be much more comfortable with female genitalia, and that would work much better for me. But that didn't really, that wasn't a decision that was based on my presentation. You know, for me, either way, that's going to be a benefit. But I could still, like, go back and forth between a more masculine presentation or a feminine presentation. The hard part for me was trying to lose this muscle and try to conform to what society expects a woman to be. And that was something I struggled with for a really long time and really came to grips with recently. And then, to be honest, it still bothers me from time to time because obviously I stand out. I realize what I look like. Like, I'm not delusional. I understand that, yeah, I'm a 235, 240-pound, very muscular woman. Wherever I go, people are going to stare. People aren't going to understand.
You got to flaunt it. Is that the strategy now?
Well, no, I just realized that, you know, I'm too muscular to cover this up, right?
Right.
So every four I would try to wear, you know, dress it down or wear things over it, I still look big and bulky. So you know what? It was like, I'm more comfortable, you know, with sleeveless tops and stuff like that. Embrace it, you know, just, you know, it's who I am. It's how I feel comfortable. And I think the big thing is that if you're comfortable with yourself, other people are going to be comfortable around you. It doesn't matter what you look like. You can look great or you can look terrible, but if you don't feel good about yourself and you're very awkward, people are going to pick up on that. And with me, yeah, I stand out everywhere I go, and I realize that, and I accept that. And it does make my life more difficult at times. But at the same time, when people meet me, they realize I'm comfortable in my own skin. And not everyone can say that, whether they're trans or not. And, you know, that goes a long way towards making people be more comfortable with someone.
The film is largely apolitical. It didn't enter politics. But mm-hmm. one thing strikes me is the President of the United States has rejected or banned trans people from the Marine Corps. And you were a Marine yourself.
Yes.
What is your opinion on that?
Obviously, I don't agree with it at all. And I think all the fellow Marines I served with would tell you the same thing. All of my friends, not only from the powerlifting world, but all of my Marine Corps friends, everyone that I served with would tell you 100% that I was a great Marine and they would serve with me any day. So the idea that you're not fit to serve because you're transgender is completely absurd. And I mean, I understand it raises some complications, but really, they're small in the big scheme of things. And bottom line, if someone's willing to serve and if they're willing to give 110%, they should be allowed to. It's completely absurd that affects your ability to serve in a positive manner.
And finally, very briefly, what do you want viewers to leave with?
I think the...
Sorry, Michael. I think we have the same, you know, we had the same objective from the start, and what aligned us, which was that we didn't want a political film, exactly what you said. I mean, we wanted... There's no professors, there's no psychologists, there's no experts in this film. This is Janae, and it's her sons, and it's her parents, and it's her world. And we wanted to create a subjective experience for the viewer to enter into and experience it for themselves.
And Janae?
Yeah, I mean, just an authentic piece of my life that shows people what it's really like with no agenda, no political motivation.
Fantastic. A wonderful film. I hope everyone sees it. Janae Marie Krajewski and Michael Del Monte are respectively the subject and director of the new film Transformer, a documentary opening in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.